Tell me what's going on here. Give me a little background.
Let me try to get my voice. What we're doing is the American Indian Movement is out here because around Thanksgiving time, the alligator printed a cartoon that said it's culturally insensitive to kill an Indian on Thanksgiving, meaning that the rest of the year it's okay. We sent them a letter pointing out that Indians constitute 0.1% of the U.S. total population, but we're 30% of all the hate crimes. And there's a huge number of unsolved murders of Indian people in Indian country. And we asked them, you know, hey, apologize. The paper ignored us. In that time frame, we learned that this paper is also made insensitive cartoons or editorials about Africans, Asians, and Arabs. And we've decided that, you know, this paper needs to be challenged. We came out 2 weeks ago, we threw blood on the door, telling them you can't make light of the murder of Indian people. There are too many Indian families suffering in this country from hate crime murders for this paper to make a joke out of it. And they didn't react to that. Their editor came out and told us that they would make an apology. They've never made one. So we're out here again, and we will continue to be out here, and we will continue to confront them. We can see that they're scared because they put up trespassing tape. They have a number of police officers across the street who've told us that if we even knock on the door to say hello, then we'll be arrested for felony trespassing. So obviously they know what they're doing is wrong. Obviously they're scared, and they need to be, because we're not going to allow this to continue.
What are some of the other cartoons that they've run?
I haven't seen them. They had one that used the N-word that African Americans were very offended by, and the paper's position was they didn't know that word was offensive. I don't know what planet you're from that you don't know the N-word's offensive. And it's such a simple thing to come out and say, I'm sorry, look, I made a mistake. That's all we asked them to do. And they're hiding up in their little palace back here, refusing to even apologize.
And can I get your name?
Sheridan Murphy, S-H-E-R-I-D-A-N Murphy.
Who are some of the other people here?
We have people from the American Indian Movement. We have some people from the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement. Some people from NACBA 48, which is an Arab student group on campus.
Mm-hmm. Great. Can you introduce me to a couple
of
people? Justice!
How are you doing?
We charge you with genocide.
All right.
Give me a second.
Good. I'm Evan with Pacifica Radio.
Okay.
Good. Introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about what's going on here.
My name is Iyapo Ngina, and I'm the local president of the St. Pete branch of the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement, which is an organization that fights for the democratic rights of the African community. The reason we're out here today in solidarity with the demonstration being led by the American Indian Movement is because we as African people and the things that we experience in this country are in the same vein as with the Indians, so-called Indians here in this country, that the Native American people here have suffered the same kinds of injustices that the African community faces, the same struggles that the African community have been waging since we got here, since we were brought here as captives, is the same struggle of the American Indian Movement, and the American Indian for that matter. And we say that the Native American people are our brothers and sisters, that any struggle of the American Indian Movement is a struggle of the African community, that the struggles are the same.
Is this a copy of the offending cartoon?
It is.
Let's take a look at that. So it says...
And it says, sorry, Albert, but it's culturally insensitive to kill a Native American this close to Thanksgiving.
And it shows an alligator strangling an
Indian with the NCAA's finger pointing at the alligator and telling him, no, that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is in our organization, every year we celebrate a holiday that we call Unthanksgiving, which is an acknowledgement that there is no such thing as Thanksgiving, that it's a farce, that the white community, that white world got its benefit, got its freedom off the genocide of the indigenous population of North America and off the enslavement of African people, the theft of us from our homeland to work here for more than 400 years for free. This is such a slap in the face. I mean, to me, It should not only be Indians out here, Native people out here protesting, that every African, whether affluent or poor, should be out here in solidarity with our brothers and sisters who suffer the same. This is a slap in the face to all oppressed people. All oppressed people.
What's the public reaction been to the demonstration here?
A lot of staring, a lot of stopping, looking. You know, some people, this brother here has been standing on the corner for the last 30 minutes watching. You know, generally I think what happens, especially on college campuses, I haven't been in college in years and years and years, but what happens on college campuses is most people, this is their first taste of political life, is to be on a college campus where there are all kinds of organizations and, you know, and there's all kinds of activities going on. But what we find is that there's also this assimilation that takes place on the college campus, that that a struggle for real, you know, real definition to really define the political movement in the 60s, that was where the war, the struggles were being waged, was on college campuses, massive demonstrations, protest against the injustices against oppressed people, the oppressed people of Vietnam. But what you find now is a complacency among college students. Well, we're just here doing our thing, you know, okay, so we'll be a part of this organization or that, but we won't step outside of our box. We won't step outside to defend people who are being, you know, terrorized by a paper that receives nonprofit resources to slander the community. You know, it's a slap in the face. And anybody, Palestinian, even white people who consider themselves progressive, have an obligation to be out here demonstrating against the kind of slander that happens against the indigenous community. Here you have a people, you, how many Indians do you know? This is what you see happening in this country. Indian people are still locked up in concentration camps called reservations, where the average life expectancy of a Native man is 44 years old. But then you have a cartoon that comes out basically putting forward that it's okay to kill Indians. You know what I mean? It is the most slanderous, foul kind of white nationalist Nazi type activity.
Now, I've noticed with a lot of college campuses these days, there seems to be a wholesale shift on emphasis from academic study to sports and sports promotion.
Mm-hmm.
And
Gainesville,
here, if you drive around the perimeter of the campus area, you see more sports logos than advertisements for books or classes or lectures or what have you. Is there a chance that this cartoon was sports related somehow?
Well, this is a very new struggle for me. I was just informed about what was happening up here a couple of weeks ago by Sheridan, who leads the American Indian Movement here in Florida. And from what I understand, the general consensus, and see, that's funny, the general consensus. Yeah, but the thing is that media has always played a role in the propaganda. Nazis used it. Yeah, but if it would be different, what are you? What nationality are you?
It's in my blood to be angry, I guess.
Be angry.
You have the ability to talk because you've genocided.
Angry is not the word. You know what I mean? Nazi Germany used the same kind of tactics. They used cartoons to indoctrinate the kids. They used the media to get across its point of racial hatred. The United States has done the same thing. During the war against the Second World War, the Second Imperialist War, they did the same thing with the Japanese. Every time you turned on a Bugs Bunny cartoon, you had these really screwed up caricatures of the Japanese. So it's not some little thing. It's not just a cartoon. The fact of the matter is there would be a lot more African people out here if the cartoon was of an alligator strangling or lynching an African. But the fact of the matter is people become complacent. People become complacent, don't have the will to struggle. You know what I mean? And that has to be the demand. The African people, the indigenous people, any oppressed community, and anybody who considers themselves the least bit progressive have a responsibility to stand in solidarity with the struggles of the indigenous population. Otherwise, the thing is you got one or two sides. There's no gray area. And George Bush was really helpful in making that happen, by the way. You know, there is no more of this gray area that people can kind of lay in the cut and hide and stuff. That you have to choose sides. And if you stand on the side of the oppressor, you cannot unite with the struggles of the oppressed. That's the bottom line. If you're not on the side of the oppressed, you stand on the side of the oppressor. You can't say, well, I didn't know, because you know now. You can't say, well, I'm just going to school. No, people have to pick sides. You know what I mean? And I really want to make a call to African people to stand in solidarity with any of the struggles of the indigenous population. Because what happened to Native Americans in this country White power is still trying to do to our brothers and sisters on the continent. The massive genocide of our people is identical to what happened to the native here. You know what I'm saying? That we have a responsibility to fight on the sides of our brothers and sisters, and they are our brothers and sisters. You know, so, yeah.
Can I make a little brief statement?
Sure.
The alligator has...
Go ahead and give your name.
I'm Johnny. The alligator has done more harm than good for the community because they duped us into giving a bunch of interviews and photo shoots, and then they printed the most negative things.
But that is the role of the media. It will take...
mostly European, but I'm part Indian, and I'm not saying, you know, that it's the same. I mean, but I can relate because of
that. But that's exactly what they're supposed to do.
Talk to this fellow right over here for a second. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.
Howdy. Can you? I'm with Pacifica Radio. Can you tell me about the photographs that you're displaying here?
These are just pictures of just a few of the native people that have been murdered in last year or two in the United States and Canada. This is just a handful of them. And that's all it's meant to represent, is that these are people have been murdered. And this newspaper in their cartoon just played that as being a joke, and we're just saying that this is not a joke, and that's all it's meant to.
Okay, thank you. Hi. I understand you're with an Arab American student group here?
Well, it's a group on campus called Nakba 48.
Oh, okay. Can you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Yeah, no problem. My name is David Resnick. I'm vice president of Nakba 48. Mm-hmm. It's a UF student organization committed to raising awareness of the plight and struggle of the Palestinian people against Zionist occupation and oppression. Mm-hmm.
So what's your role here in the demonstration today?
Well, first of all, as a group that's dedicated to the Palestinian cause, we represent the accusation of all humanity against any form of inhumanity, whether it's targeting Native Americans, African Americans, or Arab Americans, which the alligator has done through a repeated series of editorials that are published almost weekly that try to equate the Palestinian people as a whole and Arabs in general with terrorism, and published cartoons. There was a published cartoon today. This is what, January 30th, 2006. There was a published cartoon this morning featuring a racist caricature, racist stereotyped caricature of an Arab Muslim, equating them with suicide bombing. And so as Nakba 48, we come out here to represent the accusation of all humanity against the inhumanity of such racism. And we also stand with our brothers and sisters that are Native Americans, African Americans, and others that have been occupied and oppressed historically.
Have you had much of a purchase here on the campus? I mean, are your events well attended? Are you attracting much attention, or do you feel fairly outspoken?
Well, the problem is that the mainstream United States media propagates such a Zionist message to the mainstream public that it's very difficult to sort of, unwind all the ideology that's been forced into the minds of the mainstream American public. And we find that on campus it's very, very tragic to certain students to find out that what they've been told has misinformed them. And so we have a really great success rate of those students that do approach us to find out more about what we're talking about. Those students leave our table feeling much more informed, and they've changed their views about a lot of fundamental issues when it comes to the Middle East. So we find that we're very successful because we raise, like I said, we raise awareness of the Palestinian people's plight and struggle. However, there is a very strong Zionist lobby within University of Florida's administration, faculty, and there are several student organizations which all work together to sort of block any sort of Palestinian movement on campus. They do this through things like sabotaging our events. They do this through things like sabotaging our events, either in person or through administration. So it's very difficult for us. We're constantly facing persecution on campus for being a Palestinian organization.
So aside from being ridiculed by editorial cartoons in this particular paper, what other comparisons do you draw between the situation of Native Americans and those of Palestinians?
Well, of course, these are both indigenous peoples who were forced off their land against their will and for the purposes of a racist enterprise, whether it was Manifest Destiny with white settlers from Europe coming over to basically displace the Native Americans, or whether it was European Jewry that came with the intent of colonizing the land and calling it a Jewish-majority state and using any means necessary, including the killing of civilians, thousands of them, and displacing of millions in order to uphold a Jewish majority state. It's the same type of a situation. It's just really sad that we haven't learned the lessons that we should have learned from the Native American genocide in the Middle East. In other words, we should have learned by now that any type of a colonial enterprise like the one that the Europeans did to the Native Americans should be resisted at any cost. But unfortunately, we haven't learned that lesson as the United States support for Israel shows, and as in general international sort of consensus behind Zionism shows.
What are you hoping to get from the paper here today?
We've joined a student organization Boycott. There's about more than a dozen student organizations that have created a coalition that boycotts any advertising or interviews with the alligator itself. The demands in that boycott letter are as follows. We demand an official apology for the racist editorials and cartoons that they've published. We demand mandatory sensitivity training, multicultural and diversity sensitivity training to their staff. And we demand a code of ethics that the University of Florida student government and student body approve of. Those are three very simple demands, and all of those demands do not hurt the alligator. In fact, it doesn't hurt the alligator to be sensitive, multiculturally speaking. It doesn't hurt the alligator to have a code of ethics that is the community approves of. It doesn't hurt the alligator to apologize for offending the community they're supposed to serve. So none of these apologies are actually all that. This is not a zero-sum game. This is really a very simple request for them to be human.
Has there been reaction from the community in support of the editorial views of the paper?
What we find most difficult on campuses, and this goes for, I'm sure, campuses across the country, is to get students to recognize the difference between hate speech, racism, on one side, and freedom of speech on the other. It's as though students feel that freedom of speech, for freedom of speech to occur, there has to be hate speech, which we fundamentally oppose. You can have freedom of speech, you simply don't need to hate people, and you don't need to be racist. And so when we call people into account for that, it's not that we're trying to suppress freedom of speech, we're trying to make people accountable to the community that they serve. And that's the biggest problem, is that students have become very apathetic and passive in general. And so there has been resistance by some students to sort of what they feel is our protests as violating somehow the alligator's freedom of speech.